is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Hey, it's a day thus far without rain. And that can be good. I mean, that is good. But it also is not great when you have to do yard work. So I took a break from that. Made the effort and came in. Seriously tempted. I was telling Drew, I was seriously tempted because after about 5 hours of yard work, it is pretty humid today. I fell in the pool, and I was really tempted to just stay in it and go, oh, I didn't have any idea what time it is.
I'm glad you're here, because if I had learned that you weren't coming in today, we might have just run yesterday's show.
We could still do that.
Yeah, they would have had to figure out. Drew would have been welcomed back by hosting 2 hours.
Drew and Justin Ferguson, who's with us today.
No, I'd have told Ferguson to look for the exit door, too, in that situation.
I don't know that you would.
Justin's doing a good thing by being here after a long trip overseas.
Our world traveling Justin Ferguson back here with us. How was the trip? I asked you this a little while ago, but let everybody know.
Yeah, no, it was a great trip. I have my brother and my sister-in-law and our new niece. They all live in overseas in Cyprus. So
now, how did that come up?
My brother had a job there.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he works in sports overseas, and so,
oh, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And so went over there, spent some time around various Mediterranean nations, and then I had a long layover on the way over in Denmark, so I got to see Copenhagen, a really great city. I enjoyed that, but yeah, a lot of travel, a lot of trips. I'm still getting used to being on this time because they're 8 hours ahead,
right?
And so it was funny because over there, I mean, I was like checking my phone during the day and stuff like that, and it's like nobody talked about anything or really posted anything, or nothing really went on until well into the afternoon over there in the evening. And so I'm still trying to kind of get used to that back, but man, I was telling Dan, like, you know, as I got back to America on Tuesday,
oh yeah,
Auburn picked up two commitments.
Right,
like,
there's some serious news.
While I was at the airport, and then my first day kind of back working, we were in the middle of, you know, the SEC schedule, and so that was a whole lot of fun. So
yeah,
it's been a good week to come back because it's been nothing short to talk about right now.
I thought about it when you mentioned where you were going, and I don't want to disrespect any of the Cypriots?
Cypriots.
Okay. Yeah. Wouldn't want to disrespect.
Yeah, I knew that.
Wouldn't want to disrespect anybody from Cyprus in this situation. I know virtually nothing, like relative to like other places in Europe. Like, yeah. I know virtually nothing about. When I was a student at Auburn, I took European geography, thinking it would be like a fun, easy elective. But it's like a 4,000. One I took was like a 4,000 level class for people who are actually like very serious
who are like about geography
their, yeah very yeah. serious about it, and you know, here's an empty map of Europe
my,
and I could do something.
Yeah, my electives of choice when I was in school here was horticulture. I ended up like taking a bunch of horticulture classes. I don't want to say on accident, but like it got to a point where it was like, oh, if I'm going to actually do any more of these, it's going to be like the actual serious stuff. So yeah, I can't imagine walking into a 4,000 level European geography and be like, yeah, let's go.
What's Cyprus like? I mean, I guess relative to like, yeah, compare it to like, you know, describe it.
Yeah.
For people who may know very little about
it, it's like a Greek island.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly all, what yeah. I mm-hmm. picture.
But they're self-governing.
Sort of an extension of Greece.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A little on the closer to the eastern side of the mm-hmm. Mediterranean Sea, but a lot of holiday, a lot of holiday travel. Tourism is mm-hmm. by far their biggest industry, so really interesting place. you know, a lot of English speakers and Greek speakers there, and so I never was kind of in a point where I was like, oh, you know, not able to communicate with anybody because most people there are bilingual, and so, but it was a good time. It's a good time, and it was good to come back and have like actual stuff to talk about and write about.
A lot of the cities are like, here's how you pronounce it in Greek, and here's the Turkish, and here's the like it's several different languages. So I imagine it's an intersection of a couple.
Most of the
cultures,
signs were written in both Greek and English, so that helped me out a lot.
So it's good to have Justin back with us, Bill and Dan here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Drew's also back. So, hey, everybody back in town for a little while before we start vacationing and things like that here before too long. We'd love for you to join in. Hour number one of The Drive, brought to you as usual by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And one of the ways to get through to us is the Kia of Auburn hotline, and that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also send us a text through the Drive text box, 334-564-1840, open 24/7, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Also, they sponsor the podcast, which is available and working on pretty much every platform now. We had a little issue with the Apple channel earlier this month,
but we did too.
But we've gotten everything ironed out, and so podcast The Drive, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform or ESPNAU.com, and that's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And make sure you like, subscribe, and review the podcast too, because I'm told that matters.
It does
for the algorithms, according to my tech people.
Oh, okay. I thought you two were going to talk.
That was the end of the podcast.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, that's fine.
Good show, everyone. We'll see you next week.
But Justin, you're right. I mean, there's been a good bit of news, and of course, a lot of it is the midweek announcement from the Southeastern Conference as to the opponents for every SEC team. And I was telling Justin, Dan, I probably should have done this at the time, but there were two releases sent by Herb Vincent, one from the SEC office. One of them had the, had every team's schedules. And that's the one that you just pull up and you can look and see who everyone's playing. The other one, the first one, as a matter of fact, had said how the schedule was balanced. And, you know, I said, gee, it was a shame they didn't announce that on the broadcast. Well, if I just read the release from Herb Vincent, it said that the team's strengths were determined by every team's conference record since 2012.
Okay.
So they took the SEC record of every team since 2012, and they took Oklahoma and Texas's Big 12 records since 2012,
because you don't
how they were determined.
The fairest way to do it probably with Oklahoma and Texas is just to use their existing conference records and slide them in.
But a little surprised that it's the last 11 years?
You know, that factors in history a little more than the extremely recent.
Than I thought.
Yeah, the extremely recent. But that also factors in tradition programs that have maybe been down lately but are traditional powers.
Oh, right? gives Auburn. Well, Auburn gets both ends of the spectrum. I mean, you know, Auburn gets a 3-9, and then the national championship year, 13-1. So
exactly, and you get Auburn, Tennessee. I guess I'm trying to think of places that were maybe down in that.
Well, no, not the championship year. You get the play in the championship game at 13. So that was a 12-2. But anyway, sorry.
Did it include 2012 or since?
It included starting in 2012 when Texas A&M.
So 11 seasons of data.
11
right?
seasons.
2012 through 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess that using that methodology, maybe Auburn is playing 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because maybe it's Bama, Georgia, LSU, and Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's definitely going to be in the top. Yeah, Oklahoma's probably 3.
And Auburn's not playing LSU. You're right.
No, that's it would be 1, 2, 4. 1, 2, 3. Could be 1, 2, 3.
Maybe 1, 2, and 3, which is another reason why people are wondering, well, why couldn't they have saved the Auburn-LSU series? maybe it would have just been impossible.
Because
to
like,
balance.
No, they're not gonna have anybody play 1, 2, 3, and 4.
And that's probably why Florida couldn't have been on the schedule either. Because I'm guessing
Florida's probably 5.
Florida's probably pretty close to 5 or 6. So it, you know, if you didn't want Auburn's schedule to be too top heavy with that sort of formula.
Yeah, because what I did, when I looked back at 10 years, I looked at overall record, not just conference record, and Florida was 5th over the last 10 years.
And I'm guessing Arkansas and Vanderbilt are maybe 15 and 16.
They would be.
Using that method. So that's another way sort of they balance the schedule in providing. And then maybe Kentucky's closer
to the middle of the pack.
A&M is closer to the middle of the pack.
Yeah,
as well.
Auburn, Auburn, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Tennessee, probably all around the same.
Right, and so you've got, I guess that's
they're sort of the middle teams.
Yeah, I mean that's I'm glad they provided some insight into
my fault. I mean, I was looking through emails and going to clear things out, and I went, why did I get 2 emails? Because what it was is I got 2 emails, I clicked on the most recent, and it laid out every team. So I thought maybe I'd just gotten duplicates of the same emails. So we talked about it a good bit. Justin, what were your thoughts on first of all, the SEC after Greg Sankey had said they wanted to keep as much tradition as possible and try to balance it? How do you think they did?
I think they did a good job of it. I think you were going to have to play Georgia and Alabama on the road no matter what. So in lieu of that, I mean, when you have that in case, might as well get the rest of the schedule kind of sorted out and balanced. You know, if you look at it this way, trade LSU for Oklahoma, and, you know, I know losing the LSU game is tough from a tradition standpoint. I know there's a lot of – we talked about this on our podcast today, but it's funny. Auburn's been playing LSU every year since, I think it's 91, 92, something like that.
Around 89 or 90, but
yeah,
I mean –
They were
just going to play a couple of years until the SEC expanded. Then they started playing. Really, the first time Auburn and LSU were scheduled to play each other more than 2 years in a row was 92.
Was 92, yeah. And they've played Mississippi State every year since the 50s. But we were making the argument, you know, think about it. Like, you could say there's twice as many big games, moments, memorable stuff from 20, 30 years of
LSU
compared to 70 years of playing against Mississippi State. So that part's going to be tough. But, you know, so trade that LSU for Oklahoma. That's a big marquee opponent you're bringing in. And then Auburn was going to have to play Florida. Originally scheduled in the rotation, they were going to have to play Florida in 2024. That was going to be their crossover game. That was going to be
always seems like that's the game disrupted by
a
schedule
change. Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Georgia seem to get disrupted. LSU.
Yeah, I was going to say they made sure Alabama and Georgia played in this one. But
I mean, the last couple of times we've had expansion, so those teams have
there was an Auburn, Florida series.
So if you look at it this way, you trade Florida, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State for Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Missouri. I think that's a pretty good from an Auburn perspective.
That's trying to balance things again.
Absolutely. So you'll take that. So, you know, I think the thing with Auburn's schedule is that it didn't get massively easier. It's more balanced than it used to be, but I do think the bigger thing is if you look at the whole scope of the SEC, maybe with the exception of just one or two teams, it kind of feels like, you know, teams like Auburn and Arkansas and LSU as well, it feels like the rest of the league is going to kind of have to get a taste of what they've had to deal with. You know, Auburn always has a brutal schedule. Arkansas routinely has a really tough one. LSU as well. Now you get a sense where Alabama's schedule is tougher, Georgia's schedule is tougher, some of the other teams are getting tougher schedules, and it's like, okay, it might not necessarily be everything's easier for you now, but it's kind of making everything a little bit more on a level playing field, which I think is a win for Auburn, especially where in an era where you're about to go into 2024 with an expanded playoff.
Well, no, I mean,
knowing that, you know, you don't have to go undefeated. You don't have to run the table to make it in.
I don't think there's a schedule. I mean, when you compare what Georgia was probably looking at, if the conference...
If it was anything like 23, it was ridiculous.
Think about if the conference doesn't add Texas and Oklahoma, the eight conference games, and doesn't expand, you know, doesn't think about changing the schedule to nine games or anything like that, and the status quo remains. The eight conference games Georgia was playing in 2024 would have included Vanderbilt and Missouri and South Carolina. And instead, through this series of events, those three teams are not on Georgia's schedule in 2024. And instead, they're going to Texas and they're going to
Tuscaloosa.
They're going to Alabama. And Mississippi State and Auburn are on their schedule from the other division at home. They retain Florida. They retain Tennessee. So, I mean, it is compared to what could have been for Georgia.
Yeah, so for them, South Carolina, Missouri, and Vandy are replaced by Oklahoma, Alabama, and Missouri.
Texas.
No, I mean Mississippi State. Texas, Alabama, and Mississippi State.
Texas, Alabama, and Mississippi State replace those three schools. And the Mississippi State game is at home, but they also play Ole Miss. I mean, they play both Mississippi schools, which is
odd that neither Auburn nor Alabama play either Mississippi school.
Yeah, and they I guess they tried to create some rivalries with the...
Well, they wanted to have some matchups that you just don't see very often, which I applaud that.
They do, and with Ole Miss, you know, it feels like they've, you know, been given this sort of Frankenstein of some teams from the East and some teams a little bit like Auburn's schedule, right? Where it's
I think everybody's schedule is sort of like that. There aren't Kentucky's
basically playing an SEC East schedule with Texas and with Texas and Auburn on it, right? Texas, Auburn, Ole Miss, and five SEC East teams.
Okay,
so there are a couple schools where there's not a ton of variety versus what could have been. I think there's a West team that's doing. That's doing something like that too. I could be wrong though. Maybe not. Maybe it's really just Kentucky.
Yeah, I was thinking most schools have flip flopped and are playing more teams.
Arkansas
from the other side than normal.
Arkansas would be the other. Arkansas is playing LSU, Ole Miss, Auburn, A&M, and State. So Arkansas has got five former division opponents.
Arkansas is getting a break. Arkansas has had it pretty tough.
Arkansas loses
for the last few years.
Arkansas keeps everyone from the West but Bama.
See, that's a nice loss for Arkansas,
and they host Tennessee and Texas. So I mean, yeah, it's a snap judgment to say the teams that didn't draw Bama and Georgia have a slightly easier draw than everybody else. Justin, I mentioned this on the show yesterday when we were taping, and Bill pointed it out on the drive as well. The Texas schedule seems relatively favorable when you think about...
Oh, compared to Oklahoma, it sure is.
I mean, Texas's four road games are the game against Oklahoma in Dallas, the highly anticipated game at A&M. They're going to go to Arkansas again. They were recently in Fayetteville. And they go to Vanderbilt, which I suspect there could be, what was it, two-thirds, you think, Bill? Of the fans?
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, in Nashville, you know that Texas, it'll be orange there in Nashville. So, I mean...
Like, I think if you're Texas, you were expecting, you know, something...
You're afraid you might have to go to Alabama or Georgia or LSU. I think a lot of folks thought that LSU and Texas would play, but they're not. So...
Wasn't there an LSU-Texas game canceled because of COVID, too? Like, weren't they... If memory serves like that...
I think you're right.
I think they were supposed to play in 2020, and that was one of the out-of-conference games that got canceled, which is another reason why, I thought they were going to play each other. But instead, it's, Texas playing some other teams from the conference.
All right, let's get to our first break of the afternoon. It's Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Hang on, Yellowhammer, you're up when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
Kia of Auburn is deeply honored to be named the... With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon, 24 minutes after 4 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline and Yellowhammer. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. I got two schedule questions. I guess no more divisions, is that right?
That is right.
Okay, and then the SEC championship will just be whoever they think is the best two teams.
The top two teams and winning percentage.
Yeah, well, it won't be opinion based though. Like it's gonna be based on winning percentage.
We got some numbers, eh?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, they're not just gonna like. There's not gonna be like a committee deciding which two teams are the most deserving. Like they're gonna be. You know, it's and divisions are sort of going away across college football, and teams are just taking because they don't want a team backdooring in. You know, if you're the fourth best team in the league, but you happen to be the best team in your division because of the way.
It's also tougher the more teams you have to be able to play everybody in the conference without having those long breaks like we've had in the SEC.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I like the fact that we're getting around each other a little more. The one thing that does bother me, though, is that we play Auburn and Georgia home and home and then away and away.
Alabama and Georgia, yeah.
I wish it was staggered, where it was just one of them on the road each year.
Yeah, I mean the only way that's going to be solved is to play Georgia back to back years in Athens. So I mean, and that I'm sure Georgia would be okay with that. They played back to back years in Auburn. The one thing at least that has happened here recently is you're not playing them close together. So if you're going to have to play them either on the road or at home in the same year, I think it's better, especially when you're playing them on the road, as long as you can keep them spaced apart.
Oh, spacing is one nice thing. I'm happy about that. But I guess, you know, maybe one day somehow things might happen where it's not that same thing over and over, but I don't
well,
know how.
The other thing I wonder it might be difficult. I mean, the time to do it would be in 2025 because when the SEC redoes, I mean, this is a 1-year deal for 2024. When they schedule in 2025, that's going to be at least a 4-year period.
I kind of like it. I mean, I guess that's where I'm. You know, I don't mind it as much as I would hate it if they were. And I wasn't crazy about it when they were back to back at the end of the season. You know, the notion of going to Athens and going to Tuscaloosa back to back weeks or twice over the course of 3 weeks. You know, that's an extremely tall task. But I don't know. I sort of
it's not as big a deal to me.
Yeah, I mean, I now that they've spaced the games apart. I mean, yes, they're the two biggest games on the schedule, but I wouldn't do anything drastic to move them into, okay, well, now Auburn's going to go to Athens 2 years in a row so that, you know, these
well,
games
that's what
be,
you'd have to do. Yeah, I think you'd have to start it. You'd have to go ahead and go back to Georgia in 2025 when it would normally be Auburn's year here because the things are going to change a little in 2025 anyway, whether we go with a set 8 or 9 game schedule.
But the final decision is out of the hands of the coaches. It's really just up to the
– Oh, no. It's yeah, it's the conference going to have to approve it. I mean, John Cohen, Auburn's AD, and Auburn's administration would really need to push the Southeastern Conference. Like I said, I don't think Georgia would have a big problem with it at all, getting to play back-to-back home games.
I don't – you know, and we have not heard – Justin can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think –
Has John Cohen been asked this?
I don't think John Cohen or Hugh Freeze have said anything about moving the Georgia series to where Auburn plays at Athens and hosts Alabama and vice versa.
I don't think it's been talked about by either of them to this point. And I wonder, I mean, technically the SEC wouldn't have to, like, make it right, so to speak. Like, they could just say, hey, here's the new schedule format. Here you go.
Yeah.
We sorted it out. But I do wonder if it ever gets fixed, if it's just going to be like, hey, go to Athens back-to-back years, just like, oh, you know, Georgia came to, like, pay them back, basically, for that. So maybe that'll be
the
case.
Why did that happen in the first place?
I don't know.
I was trying to remember that the other day. There had to be a reason for Georgia to come to Auburn back-to-back years.
The 2012 Georgia game was the first game I ever covered for the Plainsmen.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, and yeah, there's so many fun memories from that game. And then, of course, you know, a year later, one of the most famous plays in Auburn history happens in Jordan-Hare in the Georgia game. I don't know why they did that like that. Hopefully they'll get it sorted out at some point because it's
Gus was really outspoken about switching it back, right?
I remember Alan Green talking about it a few times as well.
Well, especially early on when they were being played within, 3 weeks, when you were playing, you'd have either an open date or, you know, a non-conference game in between to try to keep them from. But they were back-to-back conference games, and something absolutely had to be done about that. Anything else, Yellowhammer?
Oh, well, I just think that if it was alternating, it would give us a little bit more chance for a successful schedule each year, because the years where we were away and away, that'd be a harder hill to climb.
Oh, yeah. And it, you know, some people have, you know, a lot of people have said it's better for season ticket holders, too, if you have a marquee game. Of course, I mean, you are bringing in Oklahoma now in 2024.
It's 12-13, so it had to be. The reason Georgia came to Auburn in back-to-back years had to
the
be
related. The expansion?
It had to be related to A&M and Missouri coming in and the conference having to adjust the schedules.
But
according, and correct
but
me if
didn't
I'm wrong.
Didn't they come in 12?
No, I think Missouri came in. Missouri come in a year later? I think A&M came in and did they come in the same year, or did A&M come in 12 and Missouri come in 13? I actually don't remember that off the top of my head, but that's it has to be related to A&M.
I guess, yeah, you know, it's crazy that I can't recall. Seemed like it should have been a really big deal. Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Quarter of the way done. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Let's get right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Dak is up next. Hey, Dak.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
All right.
Good, good. No, you was talking about when Missouri came in. If I'm not mistaken, they came in 2012, and didn't they back-to-back the first 2 years win the SEC West?
East. Yeah. No,
I mean the East. I mean the East.
Yeah, maybe it was, I mean, for, I don't remember the particulars of when. Yeah,
they came in at the same time.
Yeah, they definitely came, at the same, okay, so the SEC expanded in 12 with Missouri and A&M, and then I guess tore up the schedules for the, you know, for the previous rotations, and that's why. Like 13,
right.
And 12. I
mean, what's crazy is it was 12 and 13 when teams went back to back years. We were looking it up, and Georgia went to Auburn twice. Ole Miss went to Alabama twice. Was it Texas A&M went to Ole Miss twice?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. But I just remember, you know, because what year did we play them in the SEC championship game? Wasn't it
13? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And they won it the year before. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, surprisingly, you know how they are now. Man, they came in and right away had success, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Well, I remembered A&M in the SEC in 12. I did not remember Missouri for sure.
We forget Missouri all the time.
Well, I knew they were in the SEC in 13 because Auburn played them in the championship game. But the
right.
Yeah, and then 12. Yeah, 12 was the Manziel season for Texas A&M, which was you know, a special year for them. But yeah, Missouri.
Right.
And I still don't. Still don't totally remember like the original, like if the goal was to move Auburn, Georgia to the same year as like if that was the plan or if that was just how things played out when they reset the schedules, because we were trying to remember why they went off the, you know, off the previous schedule to this one, and so far no luck.
Yeah, I can't remember either. Bill, man, can you imagine in the 80s? I know I'm kind of flipping the subject a little bit when it comes to the schedule, but can you imagine if we had Alabama schedule in the 80s? How many SEC championships would
you have? Oh, yeah, no kidding.
We would have won about 8 or 9 in a row.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, without having that amen corner with those teams the way they were back then? Oh, yes.
Well, Alabama never had to play Georgia and Florida,
right?
Except like every 10 years, and I think I saw the other day where Alabama's only played Georgia 5 times in the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Oh, it is.
And, but yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, and a couple of those have been in postseason. I mean, the regular scheduled games have been, you know, real scarce.
Right. But yeah, I can remember, you know, when we were playing Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, and then you throw Florida State in there. And Alabama's, you know, they play Tennessee, and then they would play alternate with Notre Dame and Penn State. But other than that, every year they were just playing Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Kentucky. I mean, it was just, you know, and I mean, you know, that was 20, 30 years ago. It doesn't really matter now, but I can just imagine if we had their schedule, how many SEC championships Coach Dye would have won.
Oh, yeah, considering there were you know, parts of, what, was it four straight?
Right.
Would have had them solo and probably playing for more titles.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, usually what hindered Auburn from winning it just about every year was Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they were off our schedule and we were playing Vanderbilt every year or Kentucky, I mean, you know, who knows what would have happened.
Well, Tennessee, anyway. Tennessee was pretty darn good, too, and that was always the first big test.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. No doubt there. But, yeah, I can remember how tough Amen Corner was. You know, used to you had the 2 weeks in between the Georgia and Alabama game to get healed up, but you still, the pressure of winning an Alabama game kind of offset that two-week period, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. But anyway, great listening to you guys.
Appreciate it, Dak. Have a good weekend.
Yep.
334-321-1390. And Cameron is up next. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's one. I kind of want to make one comment about the previous caller talking about Missouri. To me, Missouri is the most non-SEC team that's in the SEC because they're from a state that's, again, nowhere near any SEC teams aside from Arkansas, and then adding in Oklahoma, which is even further away from any.
Yeah, Oklahoma makes Missouri feel more like an SEC team.
Exactly, and also, if I had it my way when it came to adding or taking away SEC teams, I would have gladly would have swapped out Texas and Oklahoma for Texas A&M and Missouri, because even when both A&M and Missouri came into the league in 2012, I think when it was. Back then, it just didn't feel like they were SEC teams.
Where's your loyalty, man? I mean, those two teams left their league to join the SEC 10 years ago, and now you want to boot them for two other Big 12 teams? Come on.
Well, I mean, really.
Terrible is what it is.
If you think about it, what have they brought to the conference aside from maybe
Johnny Manziel's Heisman Trophy?
I'll say this.
A lot of money.
I'll make this point.
Yeah.
Texas A&M feels like an SEC school. The way they handle themselves, especially their football program, the way they're
passionate. They do.
If you've ever been to Missouri, if you've ever been to Columbia, and you've ever been to a game there gone around campus, Missouri feels like a Big Ten school that's never been in the Big Ten.
Right.
And it's really weird. They have this weird identity crisis because they kind of fit into the Big 12 with you know, the leftovers in the Big 8 and all that, but
it
never really fit in the SEC either. Missouri's the one where you're just like, okay. A&M, exactly. A&M, especially now that you have Texas and Oklahoma, and I think that's they are SEC. Missouri has just never really felt like that for me.
Exactly. Yeah. So, kind of switching topics to what I really meant to call in for was talking about Auburn's 2024 schedule. I don't know about y'all guys, but I feel like Auburn came out of that schedule release about as good as we could have gone out. I mean, I'm fine with going to Alabama, Georgia. That's fine. I'm looking forward to seeing Auburn go back to Kentucky. And then what was another one?
Oklahoma. Yeah, which the thing will be is, a huge game.
You knew Oklahoma, you were going to have to play either Oklahoma or Texas. You didn't get either one of them on the road.
The fact that you didn't get LSU.
And honestly, right now. And I want Justin's thoughts on this, but right now, I think the future looks better for Texas than it does Oklahoma. I don't know what to expect from Oklahoma football over the next couple of years.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, just so one last thing. Two things that I took away from Auburn's schedule release is us not playing LSU. Which I mean, I'm not totally heartbroken that we're not playing LSU because that's been a good rivalry the past
years. If you swap any of the four home games that Auburn has, assuming Oklahoma's not going anywhere because Auburn has to play Oklahoma or Texas, if you turn any of those other three home games into LSU, Auburn has the most difficult schedule by far.
Yeah, that's right.
In the conference. Like if you change, if you swap out A&M or Arkansas or Vanderbilt for an LSU game on Auburn's 2024 schedule, Auburn would have on paper the most difficult schedule in the conference by far.
Yeah,
and so I think
exactly.
If the sacrifice you have to make for balance is to remove – if Auburn's already playing Alabama and Georgia and either Texas or Oklahoma, if the sacrifice you have to make for balance is to remove the LSU series and replace it with A&M or Arkansas, probably A&M. Would be the one that you would, I mean, if you were trying to keep the schedule balanced, the game you would remove to replace with LSU would be A&M, but you make the schedule a lot more difficult when you do that. So, you know, I think Auburn probably comes away okay having played playing A&M instead of LSU.
And also one last thing, I think I was surprised the most to see Auburn not playing either Mississippi schools. I think I saw Justin Ferguson put it on Twitter that it was the first time Auburn hasn't played Mississippi State since like the 50s or something like that, and then it hasn't hosted Ole Miss since.
Or hadn't played Ole Miss.
There have only been 2 years since the 1930s that Auburn hasn't played Mississippi State.
Yeah, and I believe one of those was the year.
Auburn didn't field a team because of World War II.
96, I believe, meetings all time between Auburn and Mississippi State. So, I mean, it's a lot of tradition that, you know, gets sacrificed for the
and
for
you
the
got
sake of
two
schedule,
very similar schools.
You do.
And,
you really
you
do.
Know, border states. Like, that that was always the argument, though, like whenever – if they go to the 3-6-6 model, my argument's always been it's Auburn has Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi State. Yeah. I mean, just – that's the compromise between tradition and not making your schedule a whole lot tougher than everybody else.
Now, if State had a couple of years in a row where they were a top five SEC team, that
you'd
suddenly,
have to adjust
that
it.
Suddenly changes a little bit. But
and we'll all wait for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. One last thing before I hang up. I know that I think Cam Coleman's official visit. I think it's this weekend. One last thing, I'll leave it with. Do y'all think we'll hear any kind of like announcement from him about his commitment? So I'll just hang and listen. Thanks, guys.
All right. I'm not sure that he is ready to do it yet. Yeah. I think Auburn's really in good shape. But I think he's looking more at doing it closer to the start of the season.
That would make sense. I'm sure y'all talked yesterday about the Joe Phillips commitment. The fact that Auburn is getting some of these guys that are very, very close to home, these top tier, these blue chip type of recruits. That's square one. You know, you can't build a championship caliber team just off of the people around you. You have to go out there.
No, but
man,
it's tough to build one if you have great players around you and you
can't
get them.
Yeah, you can't get them. So, I mean, there have been some – obviously there's been some really good Central Phoenix City players. Some have come to Auburn, but, you know, a lot of them have gone elsewhere.
Most of them have gone elsewhere.
It sounds like if the relationship between, you know, Central Phoenix City and Auburn University – If there have been times when it's been chilly, right? Like Hugh Freeze has been trying to sort of he's been trying to thaw that out and warm up relations. This didn't mean to be a bunch of Hugh Freeze cold puns, but
really
no, I mean he's really trying. No, but you can see why he's trying to open things up, keep lines of communication open between Auburn and Central Phoenix City, and try to attract as many players as they can from such a talented program. I want to get back to something Bill said during the previous call about Texas and Oklahoma. This is the disclaimer about 2024 and Tennessee, you know, thinking about, you know, what we looked
right
at, you know, 15 months ago, how would we have looked at Tennessee in these sort of proceedings before the year they had?
Yeah, you can't really, I mean, there are only a few teams you feel like, oh, it's really, really likely that here's what they're going to be.
I got four teams in the SEC I feel good about projecting in 24, right? Bama, Georgia, and LSU, probably pretty good. LSU, Vanderbilt, probably near the bottom. Like those.
LSU, I don't know how good. I mean, LSU should be good always because of the talent in Louisiana.
LSU's had two.
They're
or three.
A team that should win nine games.
The only teams
on a regular basis.
Confident in projecting a year in advance are Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah.
Because I know what kind of players
they're going
to have.
That's what I was going to say. LSU is
going
to have talent.
Yeah.
I mean, they always do.
And it's like next year when Auburn plays Missouri, do we know if Eli Drinkwitz is still going to be the head coach there?
There's a bunch of those scenarios in the
league. Oh, you're right.
Now. Right.
Napier.
Talking about the teams Auburn plays.
Golly, if Florida doesn't win
Venables
7 or 8 games this year, I don't see how they can be very good in 2024. They've got a chance to be like a 4-8 team.
They're recruiting pretty well.
They are.
But, yeah, like you
but
got
to But if they struggle for a second straight year, they may not be able to hang on to a lot of those players. And that their schedule is not great in 2024.
There's a few of those scenarios where, you know, part of projecting what the team's going to look like is wondering who's going to be the coach. And that's, you know, that's especially in a year where there wasn't a ton of turnover in the SEC. You could see a year where there's a where there's more.
Florida doesn't have Alabama on the schedule in 2024. They've got LSU, A&M, Ole Miss, and Kentucky at home. That's not a none of them are just doormats.
Now they also play but
on the road they go to Mississippi State, Tennessee, Texas, and Georgia.
Yes, and the Georgia game's in Jacksonville, but still.
And they play Central Florida, Miami, and Florida State non-conference.
Right, so three Power 5 out-of-conference games on top of that as well for the 2024.
That is a tough schedule.
A tough schedule, granted, you don't play in Athens or in Tuscaloosa, but that's a pretty – considering that you don't have that on the schedule, it's a pretty difficult draw.
Oh, you're not kidding.
I have a question for Bill that we talked about on our podcast, and it might be better for one more second.
Yeah, we need to get to our final break. So we'll come back and continue. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Vending machines are fun.
888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment here of hour number one. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. What were you going to ask? Was it about the Big Ten schedule? I was really intrigued by the Big Ten schedule. I liked their ideas. Now it's a whole lot more trouble to come up with something like that. But I like the fact that they
this conversation spilled into the commercial break. I think Justin didn't tip off.
I'm just going ahead and answering since he said he was going to ask me about the Big Ten schedule. I like the fact that they have they range from three games on a permanent basis, which is what Iowa, I believe, to no games on a permanent basis, which is Penn State. But the way they say they're handling it with Penn State is Penn State is going to play teams like Ohio State and Michigan 3 out of 4 years.
And they also say Penn State didn't designate any games as a game they felt like they needed to play every year. They solicited feedback.
Well, that seems, isn't that special?
They solicited feedback from the entire conference.
Oh, we don't need anybody on a regular basis.
I don't know if anybody had Penn State.
I wonder if other schools would do that.
Yeah.
Like ask SEC schools. We don't need anybody.
Well, Justin thought there might be a team in the league that says, you know, we don't have anyone that's truly a rival in the league. You know,
I guess Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, they're old Big Eight rivals.
And they've played Arkansas every year since they joined the league, and those two states border each other. Like, if you wanted to, like, if you
okay,
really...
all right. South Carolina. Who does South Carolina absolutely have to play?
I mean,
I don't know.
No one.
I don't know. I feel like Tennessee ought to be a team they play because it's a border.
Georgia, maybe?
Georgia would be more rivals with Clemson than they are South Carolina.
To me, when I think of the Georgia-South Carolina game, I think of
George Rogers and Herschel Walker way before your time is what I think of.
What I think of is Georgia-South Carolina was always the first SEC game of the year.
Week two or week three.
South Carolina would play them tough.
It's either Georgia messing around and almost losing to South Carolina, or Georgia messing around and losing to South Carolina. Like, I mean, I need to go back and look through that history.
South Carolina feels like they have been a problem.
A lot of these,
and especially when they played in Columbia, because Columbia is a city made exclusively of concrete and metal, and it's 9 million degrees there in mid September. Yeah. Like, it's just everyone seems to have a bad time when Georgia-South Carolina play. That's one of those rivalries where no one wins.
A lot of these Big Ten rivalries were protected because they have a trophy or some sort of trinket at stake. So maybe if there was like a
That's why I think Nebraska got three games that they're permanently keeping because they just make up stuff with everybody.
If there was like a concrete like statue of Will Muschamp maybe for South Carolina and Georgia to battle for, like then you know maybe then it would feel more
South
like
South Carolina and Florida could do that.
South Carolina, well, but Muschamp's a Georgia guy.
I know.
That'd
be even funnier.
No, I got it.
Spurrier.
South Carolina and Florida, it's a Spurrier Muschamp standing next to
Spur
each
champ.
Other.
Then Florida, yeah, Spur champ. Florida and Tennessee could be a Spurrier trophy. I mean, there's a couple of those out there. That's where he's.
That's where he's from.
Where he's
yeah.
from. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. But he, I mean, I don't know.
All right, fun first hour. We've got another one to go. Susan, hang on.
Auburn
want to give you plenty of time
for Tupperville.
You'll be up for the tub.
There you go.
We'll be back with hour number two here on the Friday Drive.
6-7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a it's a nice Friday. A little humid, but hey, after all the rain we had, that's the way it's going to be. And it is June in Alabama, so yeah, not a huge shock. But yes, hope everybody doing well. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Justin back in the country. And you had a little help while you were out of the country. Huh? So Dan would point out every once in a while little tidbits or things from the questions that he got on mm-hmm. On the mailbag. So yeah. So it's good to have you back, Justin. I mean, you get back just in time. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, everything kind of blew up right when I got. I mean, we landed in Baltimore Tuesday evening, and like while I was waiting for my next flight, Auburn got two commitments while I was sitting there. Wednesday with the SEC schedule release, Thursday now with the Joe Phillips commitment, just jumping right back in, hitting the ground running again, which is exactly what you want in June. Because I mean, you obviously know this, Bill, you've been doing this, and Dan as well, you've been doing this for a long time. Like, there's a lot of times that when I first started out, like June, you would just be trying to find
something. Oh, man, it's list time, yeah. Memories, yeah. Greatest, favorites,
top
whatever.
Top five baseball movies, Bill. You're ready. Yeah. We got an hour ready to go on you know, whether or not Field of Dreams is better than League of Their Own. So there's, you know, there's different, different arguments to be
but
had.
Fortunately,
there,
but fortunately, no, there is plenty going on.
The
so
timeline has changed, and there's like news. Yeah. There's news constantly.
All right, hour number two of the drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we'd love for you to join in. We've got a call holding on the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and you can get in line by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Southeastern Industrial Contractors also sponsors the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Shout out to everybody at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And again, thanks to everybody here at Auburn Network for getting the podcast fix. We were having some trouble the last couple of weeks, but it's working on all podcasting platforms, including Apple and Spotify. You can also get podcasts at ESPNAU.com, all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Susan called in just as we were about to end hour number one, and she has hung on. Hey, Susan, thanks for hanging on. Yeah, how are you doing?
Thanks for hanging on, Susan. Good
hey
to hear from
guys,
you.
Guys, how are you?
Doing fine.
How are you? Okay, well, I'm telling you, I agree with you, Dan. When you were Bill, when you were talking about going to Arkansas, it's a hell of a drive.
Yes.
I just drove back with my daughter to Southlake, Texas, the home of Quinn Ewers, who will be playing us next year. It's a long drive. I don't understand all this. It's just crazy, this whole, why aren't they all playing each other?
Well,
that's the old Southwest Conference.
Yeah, what
I want the Tennessee and Florida back.
Well, here's the thing. What the SEC is trying to do, though, is to be fair, at least in this 1 year. And since Auburn already has the top two teams in the league, they're trying to give them teams. So Auburn's schedule, because over the years, you know, Auburn's schedule has been the toughest in the Southeastern Conference.
Brutal,
so the SEC is just trying to give us a break.
Well, it's crazy. We play Alabama and Georgia every Georgia used to be horrible. You remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
Coach, I mean, we used to go up there and just pummel them. Same with Alabama. It's getting old. I'm in the car for 12 hours driving. I'm like, what the hell is Oklahoma and Texas? Are you crazy?
Now, Susan, I think there's a chance the yearly Arkansas game ends after 2024.
I hope
so. I want to see the Southwestern.
Yeah.
I want to see the old Southwest Conference back. I really do. Those people used to – that was such a rivalry. I'm so happy the Texas and A&M rivalry is back. We need it. But it's a long ways out here.
I think some SEC teams are going to figure out when they make their first trip to Norman or their first trip to Austin just how far away some of these places are. I mean, Columbia, South Carolina to Austin, Texas, right? Or Gainesville, Florida to Norman, Oklahoma.
Are you kidding me?
These are some serious drives that some teams are going to have to make pretty soon.
We live here, and we know it. And it's like 3 hours from Austin, from our home, here in Southlake. And like Quinn Ewers went to our high school, good friends of my daughter. And he's like, wow, it's going to really change. I'm like, get ready. You better get ready for the gauntlet. It's a hard. SEC is hard. But I do think Texas got the easier thing over Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And I think maybe some of that has to do with Texas playing Alabama in these two seasons, you know, having played them last year. Mm-hmm. And there's a Texas-Alabama game on the schedule. I'm guessing the SEC didn't want to do another Texas-Alabama game in 2024 after they'd played in two straight years before that. So you had to move Alabama off of Texas' schedule.
Sure.
And I'll get off the phone. I wasn't a huge fan of Hugh Freeze, but my God, what he's done for this university. Like a pat die. Thank you. I mean, we needed these people. I mean, I don't know what Brian Harsin did his whole time there. I really don't. And I'm happy to see some of this recruiting.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, he is just constantly. I mean, he's always recruiting. I don't know that I've seen Hugh Freeze anywhere where, you know, he's usually having to take a phone call or spending some time with a recruit. I mean, and he sure doesn't act like it bothers him. He acts like he just loves doing that.
Always on the camera.
What we had before, I mean, it's like, oh, my God, he was, like, embarrassed. I was like, Jesus, get out there and recruit. Come on, boy.
Yeah, he's
comfortable. I'm happy.
You have to be comfortable you have to be comfortable on the campaign trail, right? If you're gonna do this, and it's not just in the football specific duties, but in all of them. And Hugh Freeze seems very comfortable handling his duties as an ambassador for the university, sort of publicly.
I agree. I'd love to see the Florida rivalry come back. I graduated when Steve Spurrier was there. I remember those days. Florida was a great school. It still is a great school. Love to see it back. I'll hang up, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Susan. Yeah, well, that's the good thing. The good thing is you're going to get, at worst, you're going to get Florida twice in 4 years. You're going to get Tennessee twice in 4 years. You're going to get everybody twice in 4 years. And if you haven't made trips to different places, you're going to get to do that. And every player is going to get to do that. It is great. I mean, it's great for the players. They'll get to go into every venue and play everybody home and away at least once.
A lot of these rivalries were sacrificed for the sake of balance, right? We were talking about the Auburn-LSU game.
This one-off year in 24,
yeah,
yes.
I mean, you probably couldn't keep the Auburn-LSU game on the schedule and sufficiently balance the schedule using the methodology the SEC chose. Arkansas probably was an attractive opponent for the SEC to put on Auburn's schedule because Arkansas is one of the bottom three teams in the SEC over the last decade, and Auburn's already playing Alabama and Georgia, and you were going to include Oklahoma on the schedule. If Florida had been one of the three worst teams in the SEC over the last decade, maybe it would have been easier for the SEC to include Florida on Auburn's schedule, but instead Florida's probably fifth or sixth, depending on where depending on where you slot in Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, so Auburn's probably, like we were saying, Auburn's probably got 1, 2, 3, and I would think Oklahoma's record over the last 11 years is better than LSU's.
I would say it's 1-2 and either 3 or 4.
Three or four. Auburn's got one, and LSU would be 4 and Florida 5.
And
I'm
guessing A&M's in the top 8, right? So you're probably talking.
Well, over the last 10 years, A&M and Texas are a little ahead of Auburn and Tennessee. But I mean, it's not
like
a whole lot of difference.
6 and 7 maybe could be in that ballpark.
They're like 6 and 7, and then Auburn and Tennessee and actually Mississippi State are sort of close together.
Without the numbers in front of me, if you said Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and A&M over the last 11 seasons.
A&M's way behind the other three.
I would think 1-2
about
3 and 7.
6-7 somewhere
there. 1-2, 3 and 7, probably Alabama, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma and A&M, you know, in conference records. And so
1, 2, 3, 7, and then Arkansas, Missouri, and Vandy, probably 14, 15, 16.
South Carolina might be worse than Missouri over the last 11, right? I mean, because that factors in some of the...
Both of them have won Eastern Division.
Yeah, you do have those early
titles. Multiple times, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how much a Spurrier's run is... Spurrier's run 12 and 13.
Yeah, maybe it may be like... It's either 12 or 13 and 15 and 16.
Right, but you're right. So that's, you know, I think that
That makes it fairly balanced. Yeah. And so that's why. Yeah, I mean, because I think Arkansas is the one that just about everybody goes, why? Again. But it's Auburn needs that to try to get the schedule balanced for 2024.
I'd rather have seen State there than Arkansas.
But I think State's been considerably better than Arkansas over the last 10 years.
It would have to be a road game, though, with State, because they're not
going to pass anybody. That's right.
So they're not going to make teams go back
to back. The team you could have replaced Arkansas with, I suspect, I don't know where Arkansas versus Tennessee over the last 11 years.
It's a tremendous difference. Tennessee's right there almost exactly with Auburn.
Interesting. Okay, so Tennessee's been much better than Arkansas over the last
11 years.
Arkansas has multiple years in that stretch where they didn't win a conference game.
Yeah, Arkansas has the whole Chad Morris era. Yes. And then the end of Bielema.
Yeah. The start of this one wasn't great either.
That's a fair point. So I guess maybe South Carolina.
Arkansas 15.
Maybe South Carolina would be close. To Arkansas, that would be a team you could have put on Auburn's schedule at home instead of Arkansas to balance things if you wanted to keep it balanced. But no, I think you needed, because it was an off year, I think you needed Arkansas. Like because it was a year, because Auburn goes to Fayetteville in 23, you know, I think you probably needed Arkansas at home in 24
And again, I didn't do this on conference games, and I didn't do it over 11 years. But over the last 10 years, Vandy has only won 43 games.
Okay.
Over the last 10 years, that's not conference games. Arkansas has only won 52. Then you go to South Carolina with 64. Kentucky actually 66. Tennessee and Texas 69. Missouri and Ole Miss 70.
Missouri ahead of Texas.
Yes. Missouri has won more games over the last 10 years than Texas has. Huh.
Texas is lower in that than I would have guessed.
Yeah. Remember Texas had like 10 straight years where they lost at least 5 games.
I mean, I guess you could have swapped Arkansas for South Carolina if you really wanted to.
You probably could have. But Arkansas has been significantly worse than South Carolina.
I don't think that juices up the schedule either that much. No, I mean, just switch out the Arkansas game for the South Carolina game.
No, you might as well just keep that one on there.
And you have played Arkansas every year since they've been in the conference, even if Fayetteville's 14 hours away by car or whatever is.
Well, you get them if that one's here, right?
In 24, yes. Yeah. 23, so Auburn goes to Fayetteville.
Get the last one here and then get them off the every year schedule. That's fine. All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get to a call before our first break this hour. And Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I haven't been able to pay a lot of attention to the schedule thing, other than just what I listen to you guys talk about. So this, not this season, but the following season is going to be a one-time only, and they're going to reshuffle the deck. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And I think the intention is, and the expectation is, it'll go to a 9-game conference schedule.
And I'm, you know, I hate to sound old-fashioned, but I guess I am. I don't care anything about going to Missouri. Nothing against their programs or Arkansas. I'm not going out there. I really miss the Florida and Tennessee thing. Let me just have one of the two, you know?
Well, the good thing is you're going to have them all. I mean, you're going to be able to every other year most likely play one of them.
And, you know, you go back far enough, and Dan goes back almost, but no, not quite that far. But you remember the trips to Knoxville?
Oh, absolutely. I remember when it was a big deal that we got Tennessee and Auburn. Used to have to play them in Birmingham. But, I mean, Tennessee was I told people LSU sort of took Tennessee's place. Tennessee was that benchmark, the first big conference game. And, you know, if you lost that one, you were in trouble if you thought you were going to contend in the SEC. LSU sort of became that. Yeah, Tennessee was the big early game, and then, of course, Florida was part of Amen Corner down the stretch.
Yeah, Kentucky, I don't have a problem with that. That's a nice road trip. I'll go there next year. That's a nice road trip. I went in 15. I go back there. But I hope we get, when I reshuffle this thing in 25, I hope we get, you know. But like you said, I guess we will. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't know
how much emotion there is on the Auburn side for the Arkansas or A&M rivalries, right? Like, it feels like with both
of
those.
It's like, oh, that's neat, but yeah, we don't have to have
you know,
it.
But it feels like there are better candidates than Auburn.
And there are closer teams that you can play.
To play those teams every day, every year.
Yeah, I've been to A&M 3 times. It's a good trip. It's a long way from the airport, but, you know, they're nice people. One of the nicest places you go next to Clemson. But I sure do miss going to Gainesville and Knoxville. So, and Arkansas, nothing against them. You know, they're a nice program, but I'm not going out there. what Lou Holtz once said, and Bill, you may remember this. He said, Fayetteville, Arkansas isn't the end of the world, but you can see it from there.
I do remember him saying that.
All right, thanks, guys. Love the show.
Bye. Appreciate the call, Bill. 334 hit is a those are some long trips, and that has to play into it when you're talking about on an every year basis. It's hard to believe that you're gonna have to travel, you know, 8 to 12 hours to places to play
and
a team every year.
As somebody who makes these trips for work, if you're going to Arkansas, you can fly to Arkansas, but it ain't ever going to be cheap. Just because of the way. So you either have to bite the bullet and drive out there, which it's a
long, brutal
drive.
Yep.
Or you have to spend a lot of money to fly into the Walmart Tyson Chicken Airport that they've got there, which is a nice airport and it's a nice area, but it just takes forever to get there.
So I've made the drive with the Troy Trojans to Jonesboro, which is in the conference, Arkansas State. Little Rock was in the conference for a while. They're no longer in the Sun Belt. And then a couple of years ago, Bill, when I did the cross-country drive with my brother, we woke up early and went Memphis to Wichita in a day, which is, you know, it's a pleasant, scenic drive. You know, when you get out of Arkansas, there's not too much in the Oklahoma and Kansas sort of.
Golly, I don't remember it being that scenic.
Well, Arkansas's got hills and things, you know, depending on which part of Arkansas you're in. But it goes on and on, right?
Right.
It's a ways to get to get into the heart of Arkansas. So it's I can get why some Auburn fans aren't too warm and fuzzy.
Don't want to don't need to keep that on a yearly basis. Look, I mean, you're going to keep Alabama and Georgia. I'm now intrigued by. I wonder if the SEC. I've got a feeling, though, the SEC is not going to follow the Big Ten's lead just because Big Ten did it first.
We talked about that yesterday.
I think if nobody had done it, maybe the SEC would have done it. But
no,
there's no way that the Big Ten, the SEC is going to give the Big Ten a chance to go, look, they copied us.
They need to just figure out the 366 and make it work. Make it
and
so that.
It's not as though Arkansas doesn't have.
You can adjust the third team. That doesn't mean, or you can adjust any. I would say if make it a 3-6-6, but you can adjust it every 4 years.
Yep,
you can find three permanent opponents for teams like Arkansas and Missouri, especially now that
you
they're
can,
in the league.
But if you have the possibility of changing them a little bit to try to keep it balanced,
I think you could give Arkansas three easily.
Exactly, and one of them,
LSU and Texas,
and
one of them could be
Missouri.
Yep.
And if you're giving Missouri, Arkansas, you know, and Oklahoma, it's not too hard to find someone else.
No.
I mean
Auburn's going to get Alabama and Georgia, and then the third one could be.
I think it should be State.
I think it should be State too, but I mean you could adjust it if you needed to.
If you wanted to give Vanderbilt them, or you know,
yeah to be Vandy's fair,
Vandy's going to have to get a third. Yeah, heck, Vandy needs a second. They played Ole Miss just because somebody had to every year.
They played Alabama an awful lot of times, and they've had enough of that.
The fact that it's not State or Ole Miss on the schedule now makes me wonder if it makes me doubtful that the SEC could designate that as one of Auburn's permanent rivals.
I don't know.
Since they left it off the 2024 schedule.
But they're not doing the three permanent.
That's
things.
True. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's not
we
a
don't
clue.
Know.
Maybe there's not a clue.
We don't know. We don't know which one they
because
think is
State,
permanent is not.
State would make Auburn's schedule statistically a little tougher than Vandy or Missouri.
If it's Bama, Georgia, Vandy, then you. I mean, we at least got a glimpse of it on the 2024 schedule.
That's true. All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Plenty of time for you to join in here on the Friday Drive.
The team at Richard
on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Justin, what's going on at the Observer?
Yeah, so it's been a busy week. I did a story this week on Auburn's recruiting blue chip ratio. A lot of fun stuff, a lot of fun numbers in there about kind of where Auburn needs to be long term with Hugh Freeze. Did a story on the scheduling that we've been talking about for most of this show. Mailbag out today, a lot of good stuff in there. Wide range of football topics in that. Had a podcast today, myself and Dan and Painter, talking about a lot of recent football news. And yeah, we're going to have a ton of stuff next week. Got some guests lined up for our next few podcasts coming up here in the next month or so between now and SC Media Day. So it's a great time to sign up, auburnobserver.com. $6 a month or $60 a year to subscribe. We email everything to you pretty much every weekday morning. At 6 a.m. Central Time, you will get something from us. And sometimes even Dan will write it.
We talked a little bit on the podcast, and we talked about Joe Phillips yesterday on the drive, picking Auburn over Georgia. And it's a big win for Auburn. And, you know, you can be cynical about it. You can say, yeah, it's really rare when Auburn goes heads up with Georgia for a recruit and comes away victorious. It's rare for anybody to go against Georgia and win a recruiting battle for somebody that Georgia is really after. And so this is a nice pickup for Hugh Freeze and his staff. And you know, we've had callers wondering about, you know, when you're going to start seeing the efforts bear fruit from high school recruits early on. And yeah, the message is resonating with a few. I
mean, you have to wait until, you know, the fruit ripens.
It's not harvest time yet,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not,
starting to be now. Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it.
And then there's hope for what? Good weather this fall, right? You get the right,
right
conditions this fall, and then
but you do want to freeze.
And then yeah.
That's usually not what you
right.
what you want.
Usually doesn't equal bountiful, right?
No, a bountiful harvest.
A bountiful harvest when you get that
no.
going, but.
Yeah, and Auburn's trending with quite a few more players. So yes, things off to a good start. Auburn up to 8 commits. I wanted to ask you, Justin, you mentioned the blue chip ratio, and I saw something the other day where Auburn was one of 16 schools that had the numbers, but after the transfer portal, Auburn did not have the numbers because it was based on their ratings out of high school.
Yeah, and also you got to keep in mind there that Auburn has lost a lot in the transfer portal of guys who were formerly, you know, bigger name recruits. So with all that attrition, it just goes to show this season for Auburn, they had to get dudes who could play this year. And who, like, you had so much attrition and so many holes on this roster. You take guys from the group of five. You take guys from an FCS and just say, hey, we need to have a competitive team this year. And then know that in 2024, 2025, and beyond, it's about who you bring in the high school ranks and keep and develop and all that. So this is the bridge year for sure. There's a few of those transfers, though, that make sense with
I think there are a few of the guys that are going to be better than their high school, you know,
yeah,
projections
and
had
some
been.
Of these transfers
are more
guys,
proven.
And there's some of these transfers are guys who were high school, were blue chip guys in high school. You know, you've got
DeMario Tolan was.
DeMario Tolan was.
But he's probably not going to play as much as some of the other guys.
Caleb Burton was.
Right.
Avery Jones was when he started.
Oh,
his
that's
career,
true.
He started his career at North Carolina.
Nose guard.
Why am I blanking on his name? Kentucky.
Justin Rogers. Because I was thinking Lawrence Johnson, but no, I knew it was the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Justin Rogers was one as well. So, I mean, you've got a scenario where you could pick up some guys that were, you know, transfers could help you. But, yeah, most of the time when you're trying to – when you're a team like Auburn and you're trying to fill in so much this season with transfers, it's going to be a lot of group of five guys and guys wanting to take a step up in competition to say that they belong. And that's why moving forward, you want to use the transfer portal for filling needs, you know, you know, getting certain spots. You don't want to have to reload your whole roster with them because it's just not, that's not a sustainable way to be a championship level team.
I mean, if you can consistently get the very best line of scrimmage players every year in the portal, like if a coach,
but see, like no one's done that yet.
Right. That's what I mean. If a coach showed, he's like, you know what, every year I'm going to go into the portal and I'm going to go get four starting offensive linemen and two starting defensive linemen, and they're going to play at a conference championship level. Like if a coach consistently did that, that'd be something. But you're right. There's not a comparison in college football as far as somebody.
And you look at the teams that are the best at recruiting and the best teams in the country. When you look at the blue chip ratio and you see that teams that have a blue chip ratio of 80% or more are averaging winning 13 games a year. 70%, it's 11 or 12 games a year. Those are your Alabamas, your Georgias, and your Ohio States. Alabama obviously uses the portal. They use it to fill needs. They got some high-end guys over the last few years. Ohio State doesn't do it quite as much, but they've gotten some guys. And then also, Georgia is a great example. Kirby Smart famously, after winning the national title, bragged about how they didn't have a single transfer on that team. Mm-hmm. It was all
dudes. That's changed a little bit. They've gotten it now.
But you're going to get maybe a few guys. You hit your spots. What Auburn did this year with Hugh Freeze absolutely needed to happen. Nobody's going to deny that. But that is not something you want to do routinely. I don't think.
It's not.
If you're a team like Auburn. Now, if you're a team like Colorado, or if you're a team like, if you're never going to recruit at an elite level, maybe you can be the portal team. Ole Miss.
I think Ole Miss is a better example of that. But I would say, at least, and I don't think this is just orange and blue glasses, I take the guys Auburn brought in over the ones that left.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
they're proven.
But I mean, some of the things, some of the numbers would say, well, you lost more than you're bringing in, but I think Auburn brought in more than they lost.
So, yes, as recruits, some of those guys profiled, but, you know, I would say Auburn also, and that wasn't something you said about previous years in the transfer portal.
That's exactly right.
The net gain. I mean, I ran the numbers, and I think the last one I had to update it after the last group, but it's
significant. Yeah, I mean, I know so, you had those numbers, the thousands of snaps and.
Hold on, I have it here. I have to scroll down to get it. 17,427 offensive defensive snaps Auburn has gained in the transfer portal. Once you add up all the what they lost and what they got. Plus 17,427.
Right, so that's to me much more important than the stars that left as compared to the stars that came in.
If you're talking about this offseason alone, and you look at what Auburn had, and I know Dan and I, we've talked about this before, the guys that left Auburn this offseason in the transfer portal, you've got one starter and then a couple of guys who might have been in the rotation, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them left for playing time.
Or it's just like, hey, this is not what I signed up for. You know, nobody's here.
Yeah, so Auburn brought in a lot of players who aren't just filling the playing time that was leaving. They're coming in and they're going to push other guys into reserve roles.
And they're filling in, honestly, that and the guys that left for the NFL. That's the other thing you got
to
keep in mind.
Oh, yeah. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in the final half hour of the Friday Drive. From the Auburn Observer and Drew at the controls. Looking up, let's see, as we see the U.S. Open in the second round. Ricky Fowler with a two-stroke lead as he plays on 7.
Right, Ricky, after a historic round yesterday, was it Ricky and Xander?
Ricky and Xander tied for the lowest round in U.S. Open history, and then Ricky promptly went out today and birdied the first three. Mm. And so he's got a two-shot lead on the field right now, and there's some good ones still up there. I mean, Schauffele's only 3 shots back. Had a really good round today from Rory. He's at 8-under as well. So should be fun. It's interesting because, I mean – you think of the U.S. Open, you think of everybody dying in the rough and not being able to score. This is playing more kind of like a PGA Championship or, you know, like a year when the Masters.
Yeah, the numbers sure are.
when the wind's not crazy at the Masters. So, like, it's been a change. And, you know, L.A. Country Club, it's a brand new site for this. So, they're tearing it up in California this week.
Just the L.A. Country Club is just a few, I mean, not even a mile. The western, the eastern border of the UCLA campus runs up Beverly Glen, and then you've got the neighborhoods. There's a residential neighborhood separating the UCLA campus from the LA Country Club's western border. And I believe there is a hole on the LA Country Club. I think it's either two or three, where from the tee, if you look in a certain direction, you can see the Playboy Mansion, which over the back of the Playboy Mansion overlooks has a view of the golf course of the LA Country Club. And so there's it separates Westwood from Beverly Hills. I would say it's that part of and I think Wilshire actually cuts through the LA Country Club. It crosses one of the busier.
It's prime real estate.
I think that's safe to say. All right, 334-321-1390. Back to the Kia of Auburn hotline we go. And Spectre is next. Hey, Spectre, how you been?
I've been pretty good. How you guys doing?
Glad it's Friday.
Good to hear from you, Spectre.
Yeah, you too, Dan. Hey, listen, I want to talk about what you were talking about before break, talking about recruiting versus the portal. Napier was supposed to be a pretty good hire, correct?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people thought he was going to be, like, whether it was at LSU or, you know, he ends up at Florida, a lot of people thought, hey, he's the next up-and-coming guy that everybody's going to want to have.
So I gather his first year he hit the portal pretty hard, right?
They hit the portal decently, but
not like Auburn has this year.
No, they have not.
I figure that's a mistake on his part.
Yeah.
I don't know if as much talent was available in last year's portal either, though. I mean, this thing was so crazy.
Well,
to Spectre's
point, I would say what he inherited at Florida, like, even with all the bad that Florida's had over the last, really the better part of the last decade, they have recruited well because they're in Florida.
Right.
And I think they tried
They
tried to rely on that, and it just did not work.
Well, with that being said, that first year of recruiting for him, how many fives did he get on his team?
I'll have to look it up. They finished with a top 15 class, I believe. I'll look that up for you real quick. They continue to recruit fairly well. It's just kind of one of those things like, when is it going to turn over? When is it going to flip into something? And the big problem for them, it looks like this year, is the quarterback
situation.
Who's there?
Yeah, Graham
Mertz. The quarterback situation looks really rough.
Yeah, well, my point to all that is I'm comparing it to Freeze. Mm-hmm. Now, this will be Freeze's first year, and he's hit the portal pretty good. Now, it remains to be seen how well he does, but he hasn't recruited any fives, right, to this point?
Not yet.
So I figure I'm waiting for the beginning of the next school year to see how well he does after these recruits, see how well Auburn does on the field.
I agree with you. I think there's going to be a lot of wait and see. I think you could sign a really good class with, and to your point, Spider, I just looked it up. Florida didn't sign any five stars this past year, but they signed a lot of high four stars. And so they finished with a top 15 class. They didn't get the elite prospects, but they got a lot of very good ones. I think you can sign a class like that when you're trying to set it something up in year one. But to your point, I think guys are going to want to see what you're made of, you know, as a new coach. Especially the top players. And Auburn's going to try to be in a chance to be in the mix for a few of them, including some guys who are in the 25 class.
Exactly right. That's why what is Georgia's coach's name again?
Kirby.
Yeah, when Smart said that we didn't go to the portal, we won with all our recruiting. That's what I want Auburn to get to.
Well,
I don't want to.
I don't really want to rely completely on the portal.
Everybody wants to get to the level Kirby Smart's recruiting.
Well, but I mean, Kirby's still taking a few guys from the portal now. I mean, what everybody has to do is, now let's face it, nobody's going to have a perfect team. You're going to lose a player or two, or something's going to happen at a position or two. And that's what you want to use the portal for eventually. And I think that's exactly what Hugh Freeze wants to do. But early on, he's got to try to improve the talent base. And, you know, if you can't do it all through recruiting, then you've got to do more of it through the portal.
Well, he better get it on track, because next year this is going to be brutal.
I like next year's schedule better than this year's.
Yeah. Well, I tell you.
Well, I mean, I do like having Georgia and Alabama at home, but I mean, just as far as the teams, I think it's a pretty good schedule for Auburn.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I hadn't really gave you my opinion on that, but everybody's saying we're going to nine SEC games, right?
I think that's the majority
that's the,
opinion.
That's the belief. That's the, starting in 25, uh-huh. we'll probably see a schedule that factors yeah. in nine games when Texas and Oklahoma are full members of the conference.
Well, it wouldn't hurt my feelings because I've always said to be the best, you got to play the best. I wouldn't mind seeing 10 SEC games. Because every SEC team is not going to be in Alabama, Georgia.
Of course not.
So, you know, you're going to have those Vanderbilts in there. So if you're going to play a school that's inferior, I would pick an SEC team whether you get them in a good year or not.
Yeah, you know, I think there are reasons, you know, both with tradition and economics for the out of conference games to stay and for schools to have three or four of them on the schedule. You know, I think if the standard across the industry became 10 conference games at the highest level, and it could be. Right, as putting the best product on the field becomes a higher priority. Like I think that it would be like I'm not against it, but I wouldn't want the SEC to necessarily be the only conference doing it if everybody else is playing eight or something.
I don't see how Auburn benefits by playing somebody outside the conference like a Sun Belt team, because you know as well as I do when those games come around, we don't have sellouts at the stadium. So if we're playing an SEC team versus a Sun Belt team, you would sell that stadium out.
Right. I mean, and Bill, you can jump in here. I mean, reasons why teams play out of conference games, paycheck games mm-hmm. in this day and age. I mean, there are I understand that a bigger name would probably be a bigger opponent, but it might cost more. It might be a more grueling game on the field. It might be like I sort of understand why. You know, why programs, I mean, I don't want the schedule overloaded with them.
No, well, I mean, when you're an Auburn who's already been playing the toughest schedule in the SEC because they and Tennessee are the only two schools that play Alabama and Georgia on a yearly basis, I mean, it doesn't make sense for you to just, you know, play more tough teams just to sell tickets because you need to win games as well. But the good thing about going to this schedule in 24 and in schedules beyond is the SEC is going to at least try to keep everybody's schedules close as possible to each other as far as strength of schedule. So there shouldn't be teams like Georgia's schedule this year. I mean, it just worked out that way. It's a joke. I mean, Georgia doesn't play a very difficult schedule at all, and that's ridiculous for a team that is as talented as they are. So everyone should be playing similar schedules, and that makes it more likely that you'll add something else to the SEC schedule.
Yeah, it's a two-sided coin, Bill. I mean, you're right that if we have a loaded schedule and we end up losing, yeah, we're not going to have any tickets selling. So, yeah, it has its benefits and other things, too. But, all right, I got to get...
Appreciate the call, Spector. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, I don't want four, you know, very obvious overmatched opponents, you know, out of conference.
I don't want Florida's non-conference schedule in 24 every year for anybody or for me, for sure.
I'd love if the conference was going to go eight game schedule long term. I'd love to two power fives from everybody. But I wonder if that's if we're
everybody be rushing to find their
Kansas.
Yeah,
everybody looking to book.
Absolutely,
everybody calling Kansas and Rutgers, seeing what they're up mm-hmm. to over the next.
You know, a team that hasn't been very good for the last couple of years,
South Florida.
That was really good because there was talk about. I know what it was. There was some talk about could Oklahoma become the next Nebraska, and there was conversations about what other teams sort of could be heading that Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
Virginia Tech was really, really good, and you just think of them as they're a tough team.
Was it the Memphis coach they hired?
Fuente.
And that was a guy. I mean, Justin Fuente.
I thought that was a good hire. Boy, what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it tells you how good Frank Beamer was.
Yeah,
right. To keep absolutely. Them as keep them as good as they were. It clearly wasn't the program recruiting itself. You know, I always hear that about some coaches, right? Where it's like, and not necessarily Frank Beamer, but other places where it's like, oh, well, he was at that place, but that place recruits itself. It's like, well, then how come none of the other coaches do as well as the guy who was at the place recruiting itself, right? Like
I don't know. In a situation like here at Auburn, if you don't get them, if you never get them to campus, then it can't recruit them. The campus can't recruit them. I mean, the campus can't go get them. They have to come to campus first.
So maybe the campus doesn't recruit itself.
Maybe it does once they're on campus. But
and that's something, and not to say that the previous administration didn't fully grasp this, but Hugh Freeze is utilizing.
He's getting them to campus.
Yeah,
he is getting them to campus. What did Jason say? Jason was saying on Wednesday that. In his estimate, somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 high schoolers have been on campus this year.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, buses are coming in.
That's probably triple what Auburn had last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that at all. I mean, it's the caller earlier said didn't really know what the previous staff was doing. Neither do I. You know,
Did they.
Yeah. That's true.
We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Final few minutes of the Friday Drive. Hopefully a nice weekend. Looks like a chance of rain on Father's Day, Sunday.
I think early next week's supposed to get back.
Yeah, I think the rain's coming back. I don't care if it rains so much during the week. It's just come on. Let's have decent weekends.
I could do without the thunderstorms that we had the other night.
Unofficially at my house had about 7 inches of rain.
Yeah.
Over the 3 days.
So coming back from Europe, trying to get back to like American time, and then trying to sleep. With a bad schedule.
Man, there was some booms and crashes.
Like, it felt like it was happening in my apartment. That was pretty rough.
And Bill, you've speculated on this, not just hurricanes, but bad thunderstorms like to travel the interstate.
Derecho. Right? I've talked about that for years.
They like to travel the interstate.
It's the path of least resistance.
And as someone who can see the headlights of the interstate.
Yeah, you're
backyard,
right there by the interstate.
There was one.
I mean, there's got to be a reason why, like, tornadoes don't hit big cities. Like, you know, it's like one of those things, kind of the same thought process.
Looking for the easiest path to the ground. Yeah, I heard a couple of explosions that sound, I mean, if it was lightning, if it was, I mean, if you told me, you know, a semi truck, you know,
there was,
I mean,
a,
this thing,
there was
thing
one,
was
there was one the other night that like it shook my apartment.
It shook our house.
Yeah. And I was,
it was, like, and it was like, around between 3 and 4 or something. It was late.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was one of those things where it's like, I'm trying to sleep. My body thinks it's the middle of the day still. And I'm just like, this is the worst possible time for this to happen. But
yeah,
hopefully,
you feel an explosion going off there.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so hopefully it's a nice weekend. And Father's Day, of course, is Sunday. So
happy Father's Day to
all the dads,
to one and all, and folks, everybody out there, dealing with the weekend, and hopefully they can enjoy Father's Day.
Yeah, before we get out of here, Justin, let everybody know once again about what's going on at the Observer and how they can get it.
AuburnObserver.com. Sign up there. $6 a month or $60 a year gets you everything we've got going on. All of our newsletters and podcasts on Auburn football, men's basketball. Sometimes Dan will even write it. Podcast as well. He's on there. AuburnObserver.com. We email something to you pretty much every weekday at 6 a.m. Central Time. If you're a subscriber, you got two things today. So a lot of stuff coming up. We're trying to work on a few things as we get closer and closer to the start of the season. Got media days coming up. It's hard to believe it's a month away.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing what all the vibe is like in Nashville. For me, it's new media days location as well. I'm not going to miss Hoover that much.
Nashville's great.
Yeah,
I thought Atlanta put on a heck of a show last year. Atlanta did well,
and the first time they went to Atlanta, that was back in that was 18, I believe, 18 or 19. I thought they did a good job there as well. So, like, yeah, this is the bouncing around. I'm not crazy about the thought people have of like them moving, like doing it in Texas or something like that.
Yeah,
just
no kind of
Like, it's like that year they did the SEC tournament in Missouri and like nobody showed up. Like, we don't need to do all that.
I mean, I could see why they might think Texas and Florida are like attractive tourism sort of spots.
Florida's not as bad.
It's easy, but yeah, that's right. Other folks, the conference, it's not as.
I mean, I think like media folks are already used to going to spring meetings in Destin, so it's like it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it just depends on where.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
We are out of time. Thanks, Justin.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you back.